Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. As we promised, we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. We're going to look at the book of Daniel because it's so important for these days in which we live. The book of Daniel is totally concerning Israel and the Jews. Nothing in it concerns the church except the character of God and Bible prophecy, which we can follow. The book, the entire Old Testament doesn't have any revelation concerning the church. The church is not a revelation of prophecy. Excuse me, the church is not a fulfillment of prophecy. It is a revelation, and it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, as we are looking in the book of Daniel, why are we there? There is space left for the church between Daniel's 69th week and his 70th week. So we'll read that and see more what it's about. But right now, we want to look at why we're looking at this book. In 1996, I was called to Eagle Mountain Church, Fort Worth, where Pastors George and Terry Pearsons are. And of course, it's Eagle Mountain is a branch of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They had a very unusual supernatural happening in which God told them to study, the book of Daniel. To study it in detail. And I'm going to play for you something that happened at that time. Justice Duplessy, a dear saint of God from South Africa, very much the anointing of God upon his life, came from South Africa to Fort Worth with a message from the Lord to that church, and part of it included a study of the book of Daniel. When they heard from the Lord, they were to study the book of Daniel in every verse, look at it deeply, look at its message, what God is saying. They called me and asked me to teach. We do have a series of tapes on this first study that we did in 1996. I have recently done an eschatology school, and we will be telling you at the end of the program how you can get the book of Daniel, the brand new one we just finished in April. But back to 1996. Justice Duplessy was the brother, I think he's gone on to heaven, of his more famous brother, David Duplessy. I had met David Duplessy at a prayer conference just about 1980-something, mid-80s. And the Lord had arranged for me to spend 3 days with David Duplessy. During that time, he told me about the great move that was coming to Australia, and he told me about the time that Smith Wigglesworth pinned him to the wall and prophesied that there would be a great last day move of God. So I knew David Duplessy very well. He's known as Mr. Pentecost. His book was very famous for a while. I don't know how much younger people know about David Duplessy, but this is David Duplessy's brother, and he came to Eagle Mountain Church with this message. We're going to pray for you as George and Terry Pearsons tell you back in 1996 when they told us and we started to study the book of Daniel what happened and what God said through Justice Duplessy. So the voices you're going to hear now are Terry Pearsons and George Pearsons.
And I wasn't going to ask him again. I thought it might be too much for him. He had been speaking all week long, and I just was prompted of the Lord to go ahead, so I did. He's always been very prompt for his services, so at 10:30 when we were supposed to begin and he wasn't here, we were a little eager for him to show up. And he came in late, and when the door opened, he walked in. He was white as a sheet. He was shaking and trembling all over. And he said, "I didn't think it possible. I just didn't think it possible." And I thought perhaps something had happened. Maybe they'd had an accident. He came in the room. I stepped outside to find his driver. I looked for Ken. I said, "Ken, what happened?" And Ken turned to me, had tears coming down his cheeks. And he said, "Oh, Pastor, Jesus spoke to Brother Duplessy in an audible voice all night last night about our church." Instantly, the presence of the Lord was so there that instantly I began to cry. I came in the room. Brother Duplessy was still trembling, and he took my hands. He said, "Sister, if I ever needed you, I need you now. Pray for me. Pray for me, because I've never experienced the voice of the Lord like I have in this way."
Then he came into prayer school, came to the podium, and it was, you could just sense the Spirit of God and the presence of the Spirit of God settling upon us and upon him. And these are the first words that came from his lips. He said, first thing he said to me, you're going to speak to the church this morning. You're speaking to the ministries on prayer. I want you to be my mouthpiece. Speak to them slowly, gently, with divine urgency, because they have a dream and they have a vision which must be realized because I've given that to them. They are my people, but they are a people of destiny. And so be warned that nothing should be said that I have not said to you. Say it with compassion. Assure them that I know of the love that is amongst them. But that should increase tenfold in view of what is going to happen shortly. Speak to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the International Church. Tell them that I regard them as people of destiny, as much as I regarded those four young people, part of the banished nation far away from Jerusalem, waiting for the day when Jerusalem would once again be the home and the center of my people. You intended to speak on Daniel and certain excerpts from that. It is good, because that is within the guidance of my spirit and at the center, within the center of my will. But forget your notes. You're not sermonizing. Regard it as a prophetic spirit that has come to you through me. Tell them that the secret of those four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the secret was that they frequently prayed. Although they found themselves in a strange culture, they fasted. And as they will do what I am to tell you to do, they will feel my spirit resting upon them, equipping them, empowering them to go forth and be my people in a world that is not very different from that which what they found themselves in. There are so many strange cultures in America, so many strange nations around the world, and this is an international body reaching out to the furthest corners of the world. Tell them to read the book of Daniel. It is a much neglected book. Some of my people have taken from it certain parts that they like, but I would have them, as a body, read the entire book, to commence with that reading individually and corporately as soon as possible. They must hear it word for word. They must note the number of times that these people fasted and prayed. And let fasting be one of the clear motivations in their life to know my fullness and to know my plan for them. They are people of my choice. They are people of destiny. The leadership must know that my spirit will never depart from them. If they draw near to me, I shall draw near unto them. More than that, I shall ever be with them, never removed at any distance. Shortly, they'll be ministering in this country. They will also be ministering in other countries. But every time, my anointing will rest upon them so powerfully that they will know they are people of my choice and make themselves available. I want them to know that everyone involved in the ministry, whether it be a menial task, the most unimportant task in their own eyes, if they're my instruments,
so you can
they
see
are important.
The importance the Lord placed upon the book of Daniel. We're going to go through that book, not all of it, of course, in 1 week, but we're going to start today with a look at the book of Daniel. And to look at the book of Daniel, we're going to have to look at those who captured the Jewish people, the Babylonians. Going back, of course, to Genesis 1:1, of course, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2, the earth became tohu vabohu, without form and void. Man fell. We know about the fall of man. And then we reach the case, what had happened in Genesis 6, which leads us into the cause of the flood. And I want you to look at that with me. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. That's not our subject today, but it's very interesting. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And so the Lord brought judgment to the earth to get rid of all the evil, because there was a danger that it could have overtaken the one man on earth who still had a knowledge of God. And that man's name was Noah. And the Bible says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, his three sons, his wife, his three sons and their wives, of course, were saved in the ark. Chapter 9, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's the divine plan. The nations are given to us in Genesis chapter 10. The first place we find about the nations and the Gentiles is Genesis chapter 10. It says, These were the families in the last verse of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And so we see the Gentiles and the nations. Now, chapter 11, those nations, God told them to go throughout all the earth, chapter 9, and replenish the earth. They disobeyed him. They went down to the plain of Shinar, and there they attempted to build the Tower of Babel. And that Tower of Babel and its building, I'm reading to you now from the stone edition of the Chumash. I'm reading to you Genesis chapter 11, verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He was the first to be a mighty man on earth. He was a mighty hunter before Hashem. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Hashem. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, in the land of Shinar. From that land, Ashur went forth and built Nineveh. And Nineveh and Calah, and it speaks of other cities. But I'm going to read you, this is the note that is in the Jewish commentary on Nimrod. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him, after which he went to Assyria and built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which Rashi and other commentators interpretate figuratively. Nimrod ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. His first conquest, which laid the basis for his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire. It was one of the greatest cities in the ancient world. The Bible, Iraq, present-day Iraq, Babylon has long been in the Bible. The Garden of Eden flowed out from there. We see here the beginning of the rebellion against God came from there through Nimrod, and ancient Babylon headed up by Nimrod. Then we find Neo-Babylon headed up by Nebuchadnezzar. Nimrod led the rebellion against God of the nations. You're going to find Babylon right down to the book of Revelation. Because the stress that God put upon this book of Daniel, as you heard, through Justice Duplessy, I recently taught an eschatology school. We taught 4 days, 6 hours a day. That's 24 hours. We have 16 DVDs with a notebook. And I was not going to make that available. I decided that it is so important in these last days. It's got a lot of end time teaching on it. You're going to hear about Matthew 24. What is it talking about? What are the judgments they're talking about? And so we're making this available to you for $250. That's 16 DVDs with a notebook. We're not sure the notebook is ready yet, but you can telephone us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and request the Eschatology School on Daniel. That's 1-800-972-3447. It's DVDs. We've got maps. We've got pictures. You will want it. Just call us, 1-800-972-3447. $250. This is Billy Brim. We're coming to you. Don't forget our website from billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim today on our radio broadcast saying to you, Shalom, shalom, until we meet again.